Good morning. Good to see you here today. Well, how many have seen the movie Runaway Bride? Yeah, good number of you have. In case you haven't seen it or it's been a long time, it's the story about a woman played by Julia Roberts whose claim to fame is leaving three men waiting at the altar on each of their wedding days. Fear of commitment. Usually it's considered a guy thing, isn't it? But the movie makes it a gal thing too. Actually, I personally know a runaway groom. He's left a woman at the altar a number of times, and he still hasn't gotten married. Now, he doesn't belong to this church or anything like that, so don't look around. But if you're like most people, when you hear the words fear of commitment, you think of relationships, fear of relationships, and especially the fear of getting married. But today, we're looking at a fear of commitment that I would say is far more common than the fear of commitment to relationships or marriage. Today is part three in our series, The Stony Creek Church Diamond. Two Sundays ago, Chris led us in a message. I was here, but he was speaking. We looked at first base, and first base on our diamond is come. Come to Christ. A person reaches first base when he or she comes to Christ through the witness of Stony Creek Church somehow, maybe through one of our outreach events, maybe through personal evangelism or our 11 o'clock service. Last Sunday, in part two, Chris taught us about connect. That's second base. I was on vacation, but I listened to the podcast. A person reaches second base when he or she connects with Christian living at Stony Creek Church through baptism or prayer, studying the Word of God in one of our small group ministries or on a Wednesday night activity or at the 9:30 service. Today, we're learning about third base, and I am given the task of dealing with the heavy-duty one, the scariest base of all, because in our culture, commit is often considered on the level of a cuss word. Commitment is out of style. It's feared. And that's why I'm calling today's message commitment. What's so scary about it? That's what we're talking about today. Commitment to church. It's a phobia. It's rampant today in the Christian community. And this is especially the case with millennials, the so-called millennial generation. Millennials are people born between 1980 and 2000. And did you know that only 2 in 10 millennials believe church membership or church attendance is important? 2 in 10 only. Compared to 49% of adults above millennial age who believe it's somewhat important or very important. Worse yet, one-third of millennials describe themselves not just as unchurched, but as anti-church. Many strong Christians, even here at Stony Creek Church, strong Christian adults lament the fact that their younger adult kids don't attend church. But even among Christians who say, yeah, church is important, I get that. That's something that should be in the Christian life. Often you'll find that many only attend church sporadically and are not committed to any particular church. Fear of commitment to church is rampant among Christians today. And that's why we're going to ask and hopefully answer three important questions. You'll find them there on your outline if you haven't gotten it out of your program already. Why don't you go ahead and do that? We're going to look at each of these questions and ask ourselves, well, you know, what's so scary? What's so scary here about commitment? The first question that we need to answer is, why do we so often fear commitment to church? What are the reasons? And the first one on the list is the one that I perhaps hear the most, and that is bad experiences. Bad experience. How many of you know a person who just resists church, a Christian, because of past bad experiences? Put your hands up. Look around. So many people. are in this category. Maybe because they grew up in a real legalistic church. There were a lot of rules and no reasons given for those rules, just, you know, harsh judgment if you didn't follow the rules, very legalistic. Or maybe they saw a lot of gossip in the church, or infighting, or a badly behaved pastor, or a church split, or one too many asks for money. Maybe somebody offended them in a church they used to attend. Or they got teed off by a cranky sermon that a pastor preached. Or too much politics in the church. Or maybe church just seemed too boring or irrelevant or convicting. And so many say, hey, I'm a believer. I'm a Christ follower. I love Jesus, but I've just opted out of church. I can get what I need without going to an organized church. I can get it on the internet. I can get it on TV, whenever and wherever I want. No hassle. I don't have to get the kids ready in the morning. I don't have to deal with the parking lot situation or pressure to give money. I get what I want when I want it without the negatives. And so bad experiences have brought a lot of people to this this position. A second reason why we often fear the commitment to church is the second on your outline there, desire for independence. Oh, this is a biggie. This is huge in our culture, especially among millennials today. Everything is about options and freedom to get what you want when you want it. We resent getting tied down with, you know, a cable contract. Don't you dislike that when you can't get out of the thing? Or a cell phone contract, same thing there. Freedom to pick up stakes at any time and just bolt for a better deal. Oh, that has soaked deep into our bones in this culture thanks to our consumer mentality. Loyalty to a certain brand or to a bank or a car company, dare I say that, in, you know, near the Motor City here. A lot of people just see that as passe. This is one reason why the megachurches are so wildly successful today. Why not go freelance and get what I want, when I want it, and in the form that I want it? Now, I'm not against megachurches. I think they do a lot of good. But let's face it, you can come and go as you please and be rather anonymous if you want to. If you take a break from church for, you know, an extended period of time, nobody's going to check up on you necessarily or miss you necessarily. And a lot of people like that. Let's look at a third reason why we fear commitment to church. On your outline there is longing for perfection. Perfection. Some folks are looking for a church just like the one that they left in a state they had to move away from, maybe because of a job situation or whatever, or they attended as a kid. And they've idealized that experience. Now that was a church. I have heard so many glowing descriptions about the greatest church on earth. Oh man, the preaching was just awesome there. You're okay, but the preaching there, oh, it was just so awesome, you know? Or sometimes a church that only exists in the person's mind. They keep searching for it. The person may say, I just haven't felt, you know, the calling of the Lord here. I just don't sense that this is where the Lord would have me. The Lord hasn't spoken to my heart yet or something like that. I haven't found anything that feels right. And this can go on for years with some folks. It reminds me of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, that says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. And that can be the real issue with looking for perfection. Another biggie is the fourth one there on your outline is lack of time. With school or work, the kids, my social life, I'm just too busy for that right now. I can't commit myself on a regular basis. I heard someone say, I don't fear commitment. I fear wasting time. Now, I can identify that. You talk to Debbie. When we go to a store together, I get what I get, what I need, and I want to leave, you know? I'm done. And she'll say, well, let's look over here. Let's look at this. There's a good deal here. I'm out of here. Come on. You know, that's why we don't usually go shopping too much together. I don't like spending a minute longer where I'm not supposed to be. And so can be a little frustrating. We're all busy. And for many of us, time is more precious than money. But let's think about this, brothers and sisters. What does it really mean to follow Jesus? Is blowing off his bride, his body, really following Jesus? Let's look at number five, fear of accountability. Ooh, this is a big one. This is huge. Why should I tie myself down? If I go to church, I want it to be because I choose to go, not because I have to go. Well, I agree with that, kind of. But this can become an excuse, right? I don't want to go just because I signed a piece of paper. Well, yes, of course. You shouldn't go just because you signed a piece of paper. Or just because I made a commitment to tithe. I want to give because, I choose to give. Well, yes, that's true. But today we've gotten into this mentality that we've kind of become totally autonomous. We don't want anyone ever looking over our shoulder because it just we feel like we're tied down. You know, I don't want to serve somebody and have to show up because I made some sort of a commitment. I don't want to be tied down to that. I can identify with this. Today, we've got a special guest with us, Terry Holly. He's the regional minister of the Great Lakes Association. I'm not supposed to call him my boss, so I won't, all right? But please be nice to him, all right? He's sitting right over here. And all those nasty things you might otherwise say about me, don't say them to him, okay? Say something nice to him and make him feel comfortable. You know, accountability can make us a little bit nervous, right? That's why you see my knees knocking up here today. I get this. I really get this. But what about following Jesus, you know? Following Jesus. That's what we say we're supposed to do. Let's look at the sixth one under this question, and that is lousy teaching. Why do we fear commitment to church? Lousy, worthless Bible teaching, or the lack thereof of good Bible teaching. Some Christians are victims of this. It's common to hear Christians say, as long as this person gets saved, who cares where they go to church? That doesn't matter. That's way, way down the list. Let's just get the person saved. Let's get this baby born. But let's apply that for a second to having a baby, all right? A physical birth of a baby. Just get the baby out of the womb. That's what matters. I don't give a rip about what happens to the baby after it comes out, how it's cared for, how it's fed, what it eats, what it drinks, how it's taught as this child is raised. Just get the thing out of the womb. Well, of course, a safe delivery is important, but that's only the beginning. And the same is true with a baby Christian. That child needs a lifetime of care and nurture and feeding and training and discipline and healthy exercise and work. Tragically, some pastors have not taught their people well about church from Scripture. They've neglected it. Worse, some popular Christian authors and entertainers and even viral YouTube videos are bashing the church bloody these days. It's very popular to knock the church. We can be nastier to each other than the Republican presidential candidates to each other, and that's saying a lot, right? We air our dirty laundry and shoot our own wounded as though we're in a circular firing squad. Now, yes, of course, we need to address and correct problems in church. I do that for a living. I get that. Too often, church leaders have neglected church discipline so that really bad behavior is allowed to just continue in the church unchecked, giving fuel to the accusation that we're all just a bunch of hypocrites. I get that. But at the end of the day, you don't throw the baby out with the dirty bathwater, right? You don't bash Jesus' bride, Jesus' wife. These are six reasons why many fear church commitment. Do any of these reasons look familiar to you? Well, let's go on and ask and answer the second question about fear of church commitment. Number two on your outline, why should we bother to conquer this fear? Well, first and foremost, commitment is necessary for growth. If you're a Christ follower, commitment to a local church body is crucial for your growth, your development as a believer in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus founded the church. It was his idea. He didn't just do it for nothing. It's called his body. We are the head of this, or he is the head of this body, and we are the various parts, the members of the body. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 16, and help me out when we come to the yellow print. It says, from him, and it's talking about Christ, and in context, Christ is the head of the church here. It says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now look carefully at this text. Paul teaches that the church is a body with Jesus as the head, and this text speaks of this very close connection. Look at it. A bond like that of ligaments in the body, all working together, each having its own role to play. Body parts, we often refer to them as members of the body. Your hands, your feet, your legs, your fingers, your toes are all members of your body, and each is connected to the rest and has a crucial role to play. Let's say that my right arm somehow gets severed in an accident. What do I do if I'm conscious? What do you do if you're with me when this accident happens? Well, hopefully, you will get me and my severed arm to the hospital where maybe it can get reattached if it's not too mangled up. If it can't get reattached, what's going to happen to it? Well, they're going to get rid of it. It's going to be gone. It's going to die. It cannot grow if it is dismembered. It can't live. If the surgeon succeeds in getting it reattached, the rest of my body is going to rally to help it. My left arm is going to try to do everything it can to make up for my immobilized arm while it's healing, right? My mouth is going to take the antibiotics that are needed. My legs are going to take me to physical therapy so that I can help this arm get back to good health. Why? Well, because this body is committed to this arm. And this arm knows that it can't live without this body, without being attached. It can't just come and go as it pleases. It's attached. It's committed for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, as long as both shall live. Right? The same is true with the body of Christ. I know it's not a perfect analogy, but I think it really applies. Look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 21. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. A limb that is not united with, connected to, a member of the body is a severed limb that cannot grow, and the rest of the body suffers without it. Body parts don't just come and go as they please. They're not freelance, right? Body parts don't go body hopping from one body to the next. They must be connected to the body to live. I've seen Christians drift away from the body, and tragically and even predictably, they wither because they can't live as God intends for them that way. But when a person is connected to the body, they commit to the church, and the church commits to them. Like the members of the body, we care for each other. And over again, year after year, time after time, we see that here at Stony Creek Church, don't we? Just look on the Facebook, Stony Creek Church Facebook, all the time of the comments of, oh, how I thank God for you people and all that kind of thing. This is a body that cares. Let's look at a second reason to conquer this fear. The first was commitment is necessary for growth. The second reason is commitment shows what you value. It reveals what you love. If you really love something or someone, you'll make time for it, right? It's not just talking about commitment, you live it. Now look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. He says, the place where your treasure is, this is the Message paraphrase, very poorly constructed sentence in the Message paraphrase, but I like the way it brings out the idea. It says, the place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Now look at that sentence. Look at that sentence. The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Jesus taught that if you really value him, you'll value his people. Amen. He taught that at the last judgment, he's going to judge people by how they treated his brothers and sisters. Your life is going to be reviewed, so is mine. And Matthew 25, where Jesus separates the sheep from the goats, the judgment is on how you treated his brothers and sisters. A lot of people think, oh, that's talking about just the poor in general. That's actually a misapplication of that. Well, it's not a misapplication, but it isn't the primary meaning of that passage. That passage there is talking about how people treat Jesus' people. Do they receive them? Do they feed them? Do they clothe them? Are they committed to their well-being? That's really what it's getting at there. Some of those people are going to say, we never neglected you, Jesus. We never saw you sick or unclothed or thirsty and failed to help you. But he'll say, when you failed to do it to my brothers and sisters, and in context of the Gospel of Matthew, that's the church, ladies and gentlemen. That's the church. He says, you failed to do it to me. I know this is not talked on that much because it's scandalous, and yet it comes right from Jesus himself. He taught that the way you treat the church is really the way you treat him. The guy who says, well, I like Jesus, but I can't stand Christians. That's a person who's indicting himself as a phony, according to Jesus. The only way commitment to church can be unimportant is if Jesus himself is unimportant. I love the way C.S. Lewis put it. He said, if Christianity is untrue, then it's unimportant. You can disregard it. However, he says, if Christianity is true, then it is of utmost importance. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. That sums it up, I think, very well. Christianity is a team sport. You can't play it without the church. But which is it? Of no importance? Are you willing to say that? Or of utmost importance? Let's look at the third reason to conquer this fear on your outline. Commitment shapes your character. This is true about life in general. Whether it's commitment to your marriage or your family or your career or a sport, there's just something about working hard at something that's bigger than you that stretches you, doesn't it? Especially if it requires self-sacrifice for others, deferring your own gratification so that someone else can do well. Jesus refers to his people as sheep. Sometimes sheep stink. Amen. Frank is going to tell you all about that. They have a reputation of being dumb. Here's a picture of one of you that I took out in the parking lot. Candid shot there. They have no sense of direction. They make weird noises. They poop all over the place. Yeah, I said it again. Yep. But Jesus says he lays down his life for his sheep. Now that is commitment. And if we follow Jesus, we make the same commitment, even if it means putting up sometimes with stinky, weirdo, poopy sheep, right? Speaking to the church, look what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:13. He says, bear with each other. In other words, put up with each other and, help me out, forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against somebody. The Greek word that's translated bear with here is anecho. It means to exercise self-restraint and tolerance. It means to put up with someone patiently. That's what he's talking about here among the church. We're supposed to put up with each other. That's what we're called to do, to bear with the stinky, weirdo, poopy sheep and give them another chance. When you do that, guess what? It makes you a stronger person. It really does if you do it for the right reason. stronger in character. When you cut and run from a relationship, you don't get stronger. But when you bear with it, you develop character. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, he says, suffering produces perseverance. Look at it, folks. Perseverance, character. Character. And we certainly need character in today's day and age, do we not? Amen. Let's look at number 3 on the outline, the third question about fear of church commitment. How do I commit to this church? Maybe you're saying, okay, you know, what you're saying is making some sense, but what would I do if I, say, wanted to get committed to this church? Well, first of all, commit to Christ. This is the first thing. If you're not a Christ follower, you've never made that decision to pick up your cross and follow him. You've never repented of your sins and put your trust in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. This is where it begins. This is the first and most basic step. This is first base, right? It involves admitting that you're a sinner who needs God's forgiveness, confessing and repenting of your sins, and then trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to save you and to lead you. Don't bother committing to church unless you first committed to Christ. That's of utmost importance. Secondly, for how to get committed to Stony Creek Church is get connected. That's second base at Stony. If you're brand new to Stony Creek Church and you think you kind of like it, don't commit to church membership right away. You heard me right. Don't commit right away. Get to know some of the people. Check us out. Come to some of our other activities. Maybe our 9:30 service where you get some teaching there, or Wednesday night, or a small group. Get connected with one of our small groups. Check out our beliefs. Check out our mission statement. Check out our vision on our website. Introduce yourself to me. I'd love to get to know you if we haven't already met. And talk to some of the other members here at Stony Creek Church. Ask them, how do you like it? Do you recommend membership here at Stony? Has it been a good experience for you? Get to know us. Pray for God to lead you, and he will. If this is the church for you, we want you here. We want you committed here. But if God wants you somewhere else, guess what? We're going to try to talk him out of it. No, of course. If God wants you somewhere else, then that's where you should be. We don't want to tie you down here if he's got another place for you. But otherwise, if you sense that, hey, this is home for me, then get committed here. Otherwise, check us out. Make a wise decision that you can live with. The best way to do that is just to make some initial connections with us here and get a good look at us. See if it's for you. Thirdly, how to commit to Stony Creek Church is take the Explore class. Our Exploring Stony Creek Church class is our membership orientation class. You learn about membership. You learn about the mission of the church, the message of the church, our beliefs, how the church operates, and what our responsibilities are and how to get plugged in to a ministry that fits you. This class is required for church membership. And if you've been attending Stony Creek Church for maybe a month or more, and you think that this church is for you, then please sign up for this class. The next class begins soon. It's the Wednesday right after Easter, March 30th, from 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. Indicate on your response card that, hey, I'd like to take that class. It's 4 consecutive Wednesdays from 7 to 8:30, and childcare is provided. Or you can go on our website and fill out the digital response card there and say that you want to take the Explore class, all right? Obviously, there's no obligation if you decide not to become a member, but this is the way that you can find out what you need to know. And then finally, how do I become a member at Stony Creek Church, or how do I commit here, is become a member. Become a member at Stony. This is third base. This is commitment. When you become a member, you know that you've reached third at Stony. This is where you dive in with both feet and you say, sign me up, count me in, suit me up, put me on the roster. Lots of people get stuck between second and third base. If that's you, step out in faith. Here's your opportunity to go for third base. Yes, I know, commitment can be scary. And rightly so. Whenever you commit to something, you should think about what the cost is and the consequences. That makes good sense. There's risk with any commitment, risk of disappointment, risk of getting let down. But tell me, folks, tell me, if commitment to church is not worth the risk, then really, what kind of commitment on earth is? This is the institution that Jesus Christ set up for you. The church is going to outlast every institution on earth into eternity, even outlast marriage, even outlast the family. And so it's a pretty big deal in the economy of God. And someone will say, well, yeah, but I'm committed to the universal church, the worldwide church of all believers. That's where my commitment is, not to any one particular church. Okay, I see. But suppose your spouse comes home one day and says, I'm committed to marriage, but just not any particular marriage. I don't want to be tied down to one specific marriage. I want to freelance. You see, I'm committed to marriage, not just a spouse, all right? Well, of course, a commitment to a principle without a commitment to a tangible, real, localized expression of that principle is really no commitment at all, folks. Church membership is a biblical principle. From the earliest days of the Jerusalem church, the leaders kept track of who was in, how many there were, who was in the church and who was not. They kept count. They made lists. They kept records. A person had to think twice before he or she signed up to join because it required a commitment. Which brings us to our main idea. The one thing you want to remember if you forget everything else I say, and if you're taking notes, I sure hope you are, you will want to write it down. It goes like this. True commitment to Christ includes his church. Do you suffer from a fear of church commitment? If you do, I love you. God bless you. But if you're a runaway church candidate, and if you're checking out Stony Creek Church, I may not be able to tell you, hey, this church, Stony Creek Church, is God's will for your life. Because that's not my call. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you this. It is the will of the Lord that you are committed to a church. And if it's not Stony Creek Church, then, oh, I really hate to say this, but go where God wants you there. Okay, I said it. But I really hope that it's here, okay? All right, jump in. The water's fine, okay? Jump in. The water's fine. All right. We're going to conclude our service, that's what this is, in a moment here. We're going to have our offering. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to commit your life to Christ, come on down here and talk with a member of our pastoral prayer team, or to me. Be glad to help you out in that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you've given us the church. With all its warts, all its problems, and there are those, Lord. And we need to deal with those things and strive to be all you've called us to be. But with all its problems, Lord, it is what you've given us to help us to grow. We are a team. And I pray, Lord, that this message here will not be taken in a way that, there he is coming down on us to manipulate us with guilt. But Lord, that this would inspire us to become really and truly connected and committed as you've called us to be. I pray, Father, that as a result of this today, we would see more people signing up to take the class and committing to church membership. Because, Lord, I really want, as the pastor of this church, for this body to be healthy and strong as it can be. And I know, Lord, that's just a mild reflection of your desire. Please bless this offering, Lord, may be an act of worship to you, given from voluntary free hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.